Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Live with Lon. We're so glad to have you today. Thanks so much for being with us. We're going to continue in our study today of John's Gospel, John chapter 8. But before we do that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the beautiful Word of God that teaches us truth and helps us to be able to discern error. Lord, I pray today that you would teach us truth and that you would speak to our hearts and that you would admonish our hearts and that you would challenge our hearts and that you would encourage our hearts and bring hope to our life as we study the eternal Word of God. So, Lord Jesus, we commit this time in the Scripture to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, what'd you say? Amen, and what? Amen. Okay. Now, we're in John chapter 8, as I said, and we just finished studying last week the first 11 verses of John chapter 8. The pericope, or the pericope, either one, as it's referred to, meaning the passage, because there's only one passage like this where the scholars in the New Testament, so many of them, do not believe that this was part of the original Gospel of John, but we do. And if you're not sure why, they say what they say, and we believe it. Go back and listen to last week's message, the woman taken in adultery. So let's pick up at verse 11, John chapter 8. Jesus said to her, where are your accusers? And she said, oh, where'd they go? And does no one accuse you? Verse 11. And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now, there was a huge crowd there at this time. And so verse 12 says, then Jesus spoke to them, the crowd, again saying, I am the light of the world. Earlier, he called himself the bread of life. Now he calls himself the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, we're only going to do this one verse today because it is such a significant verse. What this verse tells us is that when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we stop aimlessly trying to find our way in life. We stop aimlessly trying to figure out our purpose in life and the meaning of our life. I had terrible trouble with this until I came to Christ. I had no idea why I was here, no idea why I even got up in the morning. Jesus said, follow me, and you will no longer walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. Life in this world and life in the afterlife, both. This verse reminds us of John chapter 11, verse 9. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, in the light, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world, meaning Jesus himself. But if one walks in the night, in the darkness, he stumbles because he has no light in him. And then how about John chapter 12, verse 46? Look what it says. It says, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide, should not remain in darkness. So, when we come to Christ, suddenly we're not stumbling around anymore, looking for what life is all about, looking for eternal life. Jesus is the light of the world, and he becomes our light. And we suddenly understand, what is my purpose in life? My purpose in life is to serve the living Christ of the universe. It's a transcendent purpose. My purpose in life is to accomplish the mission for which and the destiny for which the eternal God of the universe put me here on earth to accomplish. My days are numbered, Psalm 139 says. All the days of my life are written in his book, it says. And all the events of my life are written in his book. And I'm here to accomplish something for the Lord. And that's my purpose. And even if I don't know what that is right this minute, my purpose is still living a life worthy of the Lord every day, as Paul says in the book of Philippians. Okay, now if you're out there and you're still groping around and stumbling around and you don't know your purpose in life and you're confused about the meaning of your life, hey man, I got a solution for you. You need to come to Christ. You need to give your heart to Christ. You need to embrace him as your Savior who died on the cross to pay for your sins and save you, and as your Lord. And brother, if you get really born again and you come to Christ and become a child of God, you won't walk in darkness anymore. Praise the Lord. Now, you say, hey, sermon over? No, not quite. Not quite. Because there's something else in this verse that I want to point out to you and me that's very important. Look at it again. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Okay. Jesus makes it very clear that if we're not walking with him, we're walking in darkness. Spiritual darkness? For sure. Absolutely. That's what he's talking about. And you know, this idea that being separated from Christ is walking in darkness, this whole idea of darkness is very significant in the scripture. You may never have noticed it before, but if you do a word study on how many times darkness appears in the Gospels and even in the letters of the New Testament, it becomes clear that darkness is the opposite of God's kingdom. Now, God created the light and the darkness in Genesis chapter 1. The darkness in and of itself is not evil. However, when Satan fell, he was an exalted angel who turned on the Lord and decided that he wanted to be God. As Milton wrote in Paradise Lost, I would rather rule in hell, he said, than serve in heaven. And both Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 tell us about this fall, where he goes, I will be preeminent. Yeah. He commandeered darkness and made it his domain. Let me put a statement on the screen for you. And you ready? Here it is. Darkness is the domain of the devil. You like those D's? Darkness in this present age is the domain of who? The devil. Let me show you that. You ready for some scripture? Watch. Here we go. Let's start with 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Look what it says. And we're using, of course, the New King James Version of the Bible. Look what it says. It says, and this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He, God, the Father, has delivered us from the power of what? Look, darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Look, two things here are opposite. What are they? The kingdom of his Son, the Lord Jesus, and darkness, all right? Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, talking about people who don't know Christ. In the afterlife, he says, these are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, to whom, look at this, the gloom of darkness is reserved forever. What's the opposite of heaven? The opposite of heaven is the gloom of what? Darkness, right. Jude says in Jude 1, verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation to follow Satan, he, God, has reserved in everlasting chains under what? Say it. Darkness for the judgment of the great day. And down in verse 13 of Jude's letter, Jude says, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Talking about people who don't know Christ. What's the opposite of heaven? It's darkness. This is why Jesus said three times in the Gospel of Matthew. Let me show you just one of them. But he says it three times. He says in Matthew chapter 8, look with me at verse 12. He says, but the sons of the kingdom, the Jews who don't know Christ, will be cast out into outer darkness. Look at this. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he says this again in Matthew 22. And he says this again in Matthew 25. Darkness is what hell is all about. Are the flames there? Yes. Is the torment and the gnashing of teeth there? Yes. But the thing that Jesus emphasizes about it again and again is it is a place of outer darkness. Why? Because Satan is the prince of darkness. Let me show you. Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. Look, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Many of you know this verse. You've memorized this verse. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, God's the Father's, that you may proclaim the praises of him, watch, who has called you out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. Darkness is the domain of the devil. And this is why in Psalm 91, and I always wondered about this. We're talking here about God's protection. He'll cover you with his wings and hide you under his feathers. Now watch, you will not be afraid of the terror, look at this, by night, or the arrow that flies by day. Isn't it interesting that here in this psalm, the Holy Spirit connects terror with night? I don't know. Isn't that kind of true? What's if you've got a problem with fear, when is it the worst? At night. If you've got a problem with anxiety, when is it the worst? At night. If you're being attacked by the enemy, when is that attack the worst? At night. You say, well, that's because I'm alone and it's kind of quiet. Maybe that's part of it, but that's not all of it. The night is when the demons come out to haunt and to oppress both God's saints, we who know Christ, and where the demons come out to destroy the lives of those who don't know Christ through sin and terrible choices and bad behavior and destruction. I mean, you know, my mom used to always say nothing good happens after midnight. Well, that's not 100% true. If you're up praying at 2 a.m., Well, you're after midnight, that's a good thing. If you're working, like I did at Giant Food, a number of nights, all night, restocking the shelves for the shoppers in the morning and earning my salary, well, that's a good thing. If you're up at night studying for a test, and you can get an A on it the next day, that's a good thing. But most of the things, it's true, that happen in the dark are not good things. Or let me put it another way, a lot of the most evil, awful things that happen, happen in the darkness. People rape women in the darkness, for the most part. Seances happen in the darkness. Satan worship happens in the darkness. People do Ouija boards in the darkness and do all kinds of demonic connected things. People scheme often in the darkness. People get drunk and kill themselves drunk driving, for the most part, in the darkness. People use drugs, for the most part, in the darkness. At least I did. We didn't take LSD during the day, for the most part. We took it at night. Oh, we didn't use dope, for the most part, the day. We used it at night. A lot of people who gamble and lose all the money for their families do it in the evening, at night. And on I could go. Why is that true? Well, it's not accidental. It's because darkness is the domain of the devil. And the scripture is clear about that. That Satan and his emissaries are the princes of darkness, the rulers of the darkness, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Now, let's stop here and ask our most important question. Are you ready? Come on now, here we go, nice and loud. 1, 2, 3. So what? Yes. And how sweet it is to be able to be studying the Word of God together with you today. So what's the point? What's the not a sermon, just a thought? What's the thought here that I want you to take with you? Well, in the Bible, God uses this idea of light and darkness, with light being the domain of the Lord Jesus and the angels and God, and darkness being the domain of Satan and his fallen angels and demons. God uses this contrast in the New Testament to speak to us about holy living, about living in a way that pleases the Lord. Let me show you this. First of all, let me say, though, we don't need to fear the darkness. I don't mean to imply that to you. No. Hey, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So even though Satan may inhabit and lurk in the darkness, greater is the Holy Spirit in us than Satan is, or any of his demons. So we just invoke the name of the Lord Jesus, and we resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will, not he might, he will flee from you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit in us is more powerful than he is. And the Holy Spirit makes him flee. As the disciples said when they came back, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. Use the name of Jesus. Fight with your greatest weapon, the scripture and its promises, in the name of Jesus. We don't need to be afraid of the darkness. No. Okay. So let me show you this contrast of light and darkness, talking about Christian living. We already talked about Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, that God has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Let's look at that one more time. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us, moved us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So we've moved from the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, for once you were darkness. Yeah, we were under the influence of the enemy, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 11 of this chapter, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what? Darkness, but rather expose them. And this is what Paul said. Look at Acts chapter 26, when he was standing and giving his testimony before King Agrippa. Look, verse 17. He said, this is him saying what Christ told him. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And why did Jesus send him to the Gentiles? Look, verse 18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Notice how the darkness and the power of Satan are synonyms here, and how light and God are synonyms here. Look at this. You turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, faith in Jesus. So darkness and what happens in darkness is not appropriate for us who are followers of Christ to be doing. And look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is kind of the crowning passage. I love this. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day of the Lord, the return of Christ, should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light, if you know Christ, and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. When we come to Christ and we become children of God, we are delivered, Colossians says, from the kingdom of darkness. We are no longer darkness. We are light in the Lord, the book of Ephesians says. And now here in 1 Thessalonians 5, we're told that we are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of night or darkness. Now, in light of that, verse 6, therefore, in light of that, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober-minded. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let those of us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with him. This sleep comes from the end of chapter 4, where he talks about those who have fallen asleep in the Lord as a euphemism for having passed away. They didn't die. They're still alive with the Lord in heaven. That's why he uses the euphemism of sleep. So here, where he says in verse 10, whether we wake or whether we sleep, he's not talking about literal sleep. He's talking about whether we're alive or whether we've gone to be with the Lord. Either way, we should live together with the Lord. But the key point here is let those of us who are of the day be sober. Let us not sleep as others do. We are not of the night. Let us watch and be sober. And one more passage. How about the book of Romans? I love this. Romans chapter 13. Here's what Paul says. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Now, verse 12, look. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of what? Darkness. And let us put on the armor of the Lord. Let us walk properly. Look, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness. Revelry, this is talking about sexual revelry. not in licentiousness, which means lewdness, lust, and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. How can you say it any better than that? We are of the day. We are to throw off the unfruitful works of what? Darkness. Revelry, sexual revelry, drunkenness, lust. What else did he say here? Licentiousness, lewdness, wantonness, strife, envy, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and not make provision for the lusts of the flesh. Friends, the flesh does its dirtiest work in the dark. The flesh does its dirtiest work in the dark. And that's why the darkness is synonymous with, as Paul says here, the provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So, what's our point today? Our point is very simply this. Beware of the darkness. It's the most dangerous time of the day. Be careful what we're lured into doing in the darkness. Be careful what your children are lured into doing in the darkness. That is Satan's time to prowl and to grab men and women and destroy them with bad choices on their part. We are people of the day, and we are to put on, let's look at Romans 13, verse 14, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Therefore, verse 12, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Friends, the purpose of the message today is to call you and me to personal holiness, to a commitment to personal holiness, to a zeal for personal holiness. And as Paul said, to live a life worthy, Philippians, the book of Philippians, for the Lord, worthy of the Lord. We are not darkness, so we should not act like darkness. That's the point. We are not darkness. We've been translated into the kingdom of his Son. Therefore, we should not act like darkness, like we once did. May God help us to give it our very best with the help of the Holy Spirit, to have a passion for personal holiness, not to be casual about it, but to be passionate about it and live like the sons of light in obedience to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for anyone out there who is still stumbling in the darkness, as we said at the beginning of this message, convince them, Lord, to open their heart and life to the Lord Jesus. And he will bring meaning and purpose to their life, just like he did mine. And then once we come to Christ, Lord, for the many of us listening who have, dear God, help us to put off, as Paul says, cast off the works of darkness. And to live like people who are light in the Lord. We are light in the Lord now. Help us, Lord Jesus, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Give us a passion for personal holiness, a seriousness about it, a sober-mindedness about rejecting the works of darkness in our soul that still live there. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And what? Amen. Hey, my friends, what did we study today? Say it with me. The Bible. Come on. The whole Bible. Come on. And nothing but the Bible. And then we applied it to our lives, right? You bet. All right. May God help us all to cast off the works of darkness, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to obey its lusts. May God help us by the power of His Spirit. God bless you. See you next week on Live with Lon, Lord willing.